Today's reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this precious time to reflect on your word. Please teach us and change us through the power of your Spirit. Amen. I'd like to start by asking you to imagine a big pair of old-fashioned scales, the kind with two copper bowls, and you put things in each side and see which are heavier. Well, today we're thinking about our present sufferings and the good things we have to look forward to. I want us to weigh them on our scales and to see which is heavier, our present difficulties or the good things we have in the future. Now, there's no doubt that many of us are suffering at the moment. Some of us at school have been separated from school friends for weeks now, and we're wondering if the friendships will ever be the same again. Others are desperately anxious about our finances or about our families. For some of us, our mental health has really suffered during these weeks of isolation. Some of us, I know, have recently been bereaved. You know the agony of losing someone you love. There are other kinds of suffering as well. All of us have been shocked by the terrible murder of George Floyd in the US. And I know that for some in our church family, this has been a painful reminder of racial discrimination that you still face in the UK, and tragically even in our churches. I know that many feel overwhelmed with the difficulty of knowing what you can do to combat the evil of racism. Well, our church family is suffering in many different ways. The suffering side of our scales feels very heavy. But what about the other bowl on our scales, the good things we have to look forward to? These can seem terribly light. Isolation has robbed us of many of the things we usually look forward to. Clubs and sports have been cancelled. Time with friends is impossible. Summer holidays uncertain. We might not know if we have a job to go back to. Now, this loss of hope matters. Many experts, both Christian and non-Christian, have argued that when we're suffering, we need hope. For us humans to flourish, we have to be able to look to the future with confidence and excitement. Which seems heavier on your scales, your present sufferings or your future hope? Well, so far in Romans chapter 8, Paul has been explaining the difference Christ makes to those who trust in him. Verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, the Spirit of Jesus dwells in us. Verse 14, we are God's children. And now in verses 18 to 27, Paul shows us the glorious future that is in store for every follower of Christ. So in verse 18 of today's passage, Paul writes this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He puts our present sufferings and our future glory on the scales, and crunch, the scales bend and snap in two. The future glory far outweighs them all. Now, Paul is not minimizing our sufferings. He knows himself what it is to be weighed down with concerns, to be gravely ill, to be beaten and rejected, to suffer racial and religious persecution. When Paul says our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will be revealed in us, he's not minimizing the sufferings. No, he's seeing how great our future is if we trust in Christ. Now, the word that ties this passage together is the word groan. It comes three times in verse 22, verse 23, and in verse 26. It's an unusual word in the original language. A groan is the sound you make when you're suffering in the present while looking to a wonderful future. It's the sound of facing pain now as you strain towards something amazing. Well, I want us to understand the groaners of this passage so that we can understand the future that Jesus gives to his people so that we can have hope. Well, who are these groaners? The first is creation itself. The planets, the plants, the animals, the whole lot. Creation groans as it awaits a glorious future. Verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, the background to these verses is Genesis chapter 3 and the pivotal influence humans have on the fate of the whole creation. When we humans rebelled against God, the whole creation came under God's judgment. Paul says it was subjected to frustration. We now live in a world where the ground produces thorns and thistles, where harvests fail, where our work, no matter how carefully we do it, can come to nothing, where relationships we've poured ourselves into can end in acrimony. The whole creation is subjected to frustration and also in bondage to decay. Our food rots. Our animals die. Our world can be brought to a halt by a virus. Our bodies and our minds grow frail and die. Now, all this is the consequence of human rebellion. God's judgment has affected not just us, but the whole creation. But when God subjected the world to frustration, he did so, end of verse 20, in hope. He did it knowing that one day the creation itself would be liberated and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Just as human sin plunged the creation into frustration and despair, our future glory will lift creation into freedom and life. Imagine a car whose driver ignores the maker's instructions. The maker tells the driver to keep the car filled up with engine oil and with radiator water. But the driver holds the maker in contempt and he refuses to do it. Now, that car would grind and groan its way along the road, suffering for the driver's attitude. What does the car need? It needs the driver to be put right. God has put humans in charge of his creation. We are like the driver and creation is like the car. Our rejection of God has damaged the whole creation. But when God puts us right, when Christ returns and we are made like him, oh, the whole creation will be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So friends, we need to be realistic about the present. We live in a world that God has subjected to frustration and decay. We will experience that in our lives. But we should also be passionate about the future. One day this creation will be free from frustration. There'll be no more famine, No more failure in work. No more breakdown of relationships. And one day creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay. Nothing will rot. No one will grow sick. No one will die. If we trust in Jesus, that creation will be our home forever and ever. And Paul describes the whole creation groaning for this wonderful day. But you know, it's not only creation in general that grows. We see next in verses 23 to 25 that this experience is deeply personal to each believer. Christians groan as we await a glorious future. Now, verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now in the Christian life, there are some blessings we already have and some that we still wait for. The blessings of the Christian life are both now and not yet. So now Christians have the Spirit. Christ lives in us. We have a new mind that knows God and wants to please him. The Spirit helps us to know deep down that we are God's children. We have these immense blessings now. But there are other blessings that we do not yet have. As Paul says, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Now that makes us think. In one sense, Christians are already adopted. We are already God's sons and daughters. But we do not yet have the fullness of it. We're not yet in the family home of heaven. We do not yet see our Heavenly Father face to face. We also wait for the redemption of our bodies. Already our souls have been saved, but our bodies, well, they're still subject to sin and to death. In the future, our bodies will be saved too. On that day, our sinful nature will be gone. The battle with temptation will be over. Every part of us will live for God's glory. It will be wonderful. Perhaps this diagram will help. Christian believers live in the overlap of two ages. We live both in the age of sin and death and in the age of the Spirit. We now enjoy the blessings of the Spirit within, but it's only when Christ returns that the age of sin and death will be over. Only then will the battle with sin be done. Only then will we be at last in the family home. This is why Paul says in verse 24 that we're saved in hope. Yes, we have great blessings now, but there are greater blessings still to come, and we groan as we wait for them. Sometimes when I'm working in the evening, a deep hunger comes over me. With my tummy rumbling, I head down to the kitchen where Louise is cooking. And occasionally, she gives me a taste of what she's preparing, a foretaste, maybe a forkful of casserole. Now that foretaste is wonderful, it's delicious, but you know, it makes me even more hungry. It leaves me groaning, how long until we eat? Well, the blessings we have now in the Christian life are like that foretaste. They're wonderful, they're delicious, but they leave us groaning, how long until Christ returns? And in the meantime, Paul tells us to wait eagerly and patiently. So verse 23, we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons. Waiting eagerly means straining on tiptoes towards our future, spending time thinking about our future, delighting in it, thanking God for what lies ahead. Christians, are you waiting eagerly? And verse 25, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, waiting patiently means that we expect suffering in this life. But when it comes, we are ready to trust God and to keep loving others because we know that we have a wonderful future ahead of us. Are you waiting patiently? Christians, we groan as we await a glorious future ahead of us. Let's wait for it eagerly and patiently. But while we're waiting, God has given us the most amazing help. We see, third of all, in verses 26 and 27, that the Spirit groans as he aids our prayers. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. As we suffer in this world, we often don't know what to pray for. Should we pray for the pain to end? Should we pray for God to grow us through it? If so, what kind of growth should we be asking for? Often we just don't know. And this is where the Holy Spirit helps us. He intercedes for us. He prays for us with wordless groans. And verse 27 tells us that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray for. He always prays for God's people in accordance with God's will. It's wonderful to think that when the Christian prays, God is active at both ends. God the Father in heaven hears our prayer, and God the Spirit within us prays for us the very things that we ought to be asking God for. Now, does this mean that we can just put our feet up and leave all our praying to the Holy Spirit? Well, no, it doesn't. The word help in verse 26 is a word that means work together with. The Spirit doesn't take over from us. Rather, he works together with us as we pray. In other words, it's as we pray that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Just think of it. When I'm in trouble and I don't know what to pray for, I should pray as best I can, and as I do that, God the Holy Spirit is praying for the exact things I need. Or when a friend is suffering and I don't know what to pray for them, I should pray with all the wisdom I have, and as I do that, the Spirit is interceding and asking for what they really need. Prayer is such a privilege. The Father listens to our every prayer. The Spirit helps us as we pray. Brothers and sisters, are we making the most of this? Praying for 15 seconds in the morning and the evening does not do justice to the divine privilege of prayer. Let's give ourselves to praying, because as we pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. So my friends, creation groans as it awaits a glorious future. Christians groan as we await a glorious future. And the Spirit groans as he aids our prayers. They are all straining forward to what is to come. Now, the present sufferings side of our scales can be heavy indeed, but the future glory side outweighs them by far. If we trust in Christ, we have ahead of us a creation freed from frustration and decay, a society freed from hatred and discrimination, and bodies freed from sin and sickness. Christ died for us so that this future can be ours. Why would you not come to him and trust him and make this future yours? I know that many of us have done that. Well, wait patiently and wait eagerly, because your future is glorious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful future you have in store for all who trust in Christ. Help us to wait for it patiently, expecting suffering to come, being ready to keep trusting you, to keep loving others through it. And help us to wait for it eagerly, straining forward on tiptoes to what you have promised, delighting in it in our hearts now, and thanking you for it. Amen.